Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast, 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel Number 6, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you your need for God in your life and your happy relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Last week, we began a series on the subject of fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We are doing an introductory lesson that we began last week and will conclude today. And we've been looking at the choices that we make in our lives. We were talking about clothing choices. In Proverbs 7 and verse 10, it says, "And there's a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart." Now again, does our dress encourage people to live godly, or are we more inclined to try to keep up with the fashions of society? Again, how we dress, how we demonstrate and conduct ourselves says something about who we are and what we are. What about our speech? In Colossians 4 and verse 6, "Let your speech always be grace, seasoned with salt, that you know how you may ought to answer each one." What about our speech? How do we conduct ourselves in our speech? "Likewise, exhort young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptible, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you." Well, does our speech betray who we are and the one whose name that we wear? Well, as Peter was told in the garden, when he was warming himself by the fire of the enemy, the maiden said, "Thy speech betrays you that you're one of them. Now, what about us? Does our speech outside the services of the Lord's church, does it do the same for us? Do we use foul language? Do we tell or listen to dirty jokes? Do we gossip? Do we gossip or do we even listen to gossip? What we say at work, what we say about our brethren, about our kids, about their spouses, about their house, their car, about their life, all of that tells somebody about who we are and what we represent. What do people know about you by your speech? Does it demonstrate the speech of a Christian, or does it demonstrate one who is a hypocrite in what they claim to be? Speech clarification. Is it gossip, slander, or sin to identify a false teacher? I've been told all my life that if I disagree with somebody spiritually and I point that out to them and want to discuss it with them, then I'm judging them. No. Please read Romans chapter 16, and we will read this in Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. Romans, the 16th chapter, verse 17 and 18. "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." When exposed, false teachers claw and bite to shift the focus off them and their message on to someone else. Unfortunately, no one believes that they are a false teacher or announces themselves as such. Much of the time, they seek to draw attention to the one identifying them and off the message of error that they are promoting. But our speech clarifies and tells people about who we are. If we claim to be a child of God and we claim to be part of His family, then we must teach things that are according to His will, or yet we hypocritically claim to be something that we're not. Speech clarification. After one is exposed as a false teacher or teaching error, something that's contrary to God's will, They then aim at the one exposing them on a personal level and start making some wild and inaccurate accusations. You're mean-spirited and divisive. A man's not mean-spirited and divisive if he's trying to point out spiritual error in your life to correct it before it's everlasting too late. You misrepresent me. How can a man be misrepresented when you quote him accurately? When you just, he telling him the things that he's saying and the things that he are proposing are contrary to God's will. You have involved in gossip and slander. It's not gossip and slander if our intent is to try to help you and to guide you, and it is truthful according to the things you say and the things that you do. Seeking to make a name for yourself. The only name I wear is Christian. That's the only name that I care about. And I don't want to do anything that would bring shame and reproach upon that name. It's not about making a name for himself. It's trying to help those who are misguided and lost by going in the wrong direction. Soldiers in the same army don't fight one another. Yes, that's true, but we're not in the same army. If one is teaching things that are contrary to God's will, according to Jesus Christ, they have become an enemy. And according to him, those things are contrary to his will, are dangerous to the soul. And so we're not fighting each other in the same army because we're not in the same army. And we need to be more compassionate. I agree 100%. We do need to be more compassionate, but what compassion is demonstrated if we allow one to teach things that are contrary to God's will and offer no opposition to it or offer any clarification to it to demonstrate that it's not in accordance with what God's will truly teaches. Again, this is speech that is just trying to be silenced by those who want to do things that are contrary to God's will. And again, that kind of speech says something about who you are and what you are. Jesus is pleased with our choice of places we go. What kind of places do you choose to frequent with your presence? Do you go to bars? Do you go to public swimming pools? Or do you go to dance halls? Do you go to movies that have sexually explicit material? Do you go to drinking parties? Where do you conduct yourself outside of times that you are worshiping God? While we need to be around the sinner in order to convert him, does this justify going and doing the same things that they partake of in order to convert them? I think not. We need to make better choices in the places we go. There are things that are just not compatible with Christianity. There are just places that the Christian does not need to be because they're not conducive to godliness nor to upbuilding him spiritually and bringing him closer to God. That you may be blameless, harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Philippians 2 verse 15. We need to shine as lights in a world of darkness of sin, a beacon of hope, a direction finder to show people the way out of sin. You can't do that if you are in sin with them. You can't do that if you participate and do the same things they do by your dress, by your speech, by the places you go. And you just like the world, how is there any distinction made? How does anyone know that you're truly a child of God when you are living and doing the same thing that the one in the world is doing? Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. James 4 and verse 4. We must understand the influence and examples that we are on must be on the Christian side. If our friends are influencing us, then we have a problem. In your friendship, who influences her? Who has the upper hand? Do you influence your friends to live for God, to trust God, to put their faith in God, to live a godly life, to live according to righteousness and the instructions contained in the Bible? If you don't do that, then how are you considered a really good friend? And if you allow other so-called friends to lead you in directions you know are contrary to God, then you need to make some changes in your life. Do not be deceived, evil companions. Corrupt good habits, 1 Corinthians 15:33. It's important who we choose to be around. It's important the people that we put in our inner circle because they have an effect on us. They have influence on us. And they can cause us to do things that are contrary to God's will. Gangs, defiant people, immoral people, false brethren, people who love the world more than they love God. If we try to do, can one run with those in the world that still and not have some of their bad habits rub off on them? I think not. Who will be the influence in whatever friendship we find ourselves in? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said that we can't serve two masters. We've got to make a choice. What choice, dear friend, are you making? Let him who steals steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that we may give and have something to give him who has need. Is God pleased with our choice of our career? God desires we hold honest labor for ourselves and for others, and we need to do things that uplift and help people. We can't do jobs and have careers and things, even though they may be legal, that have us participate or encourage people to participate in ungodliness. I dealt with this problem when I lived in Las Vegas. When I first got there, we had people who were members who were doing jobs that they had no business being in because it didn't uphold the righteousness of Christ and encourage people to do things that were contrary to his will. If they were going to be faithful, they were going to have to get out of those types of jobs. But that is the price of discipleship sometimes. What kind of jobs can we hold if God's pleased? Can we be a mafia worker? Can we be a bartender? Can I be a defense lawyer for the guilty and unscripturally divorced? Can I be a beer truck driver? Can I be a tobacco grower? Can I be a winery owner? Can I raise grapes so I can sell them into alcoholic beverages? Can I do that and be right? Well, maybe you're thinking, well, all those jobs are legal. Yes, they may be legal, but are they righteous in the sight of God? Do they encourage people to live godly or to participate in sin? We must bear good fruit in our choices. Rather than dressing immodestly, dress with shamefacedness. Don't speak with foul language, but edify people with godly words. Seek Christian friendships and not friendships of the world. Rather than being entertained with sin, try to entertain with righteousness. Select a wholesome movie or play. Go camping or fishing or rodeo. Do things that do not encourage people to participate in sin. Seek employment that will not tempt you to compromise your faith and destroy your relationship with God. You see, fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. Please read Galatians 5, 19 through 21. One can see how different the works of the flesh are from the fruits of the Spirit. It is natural when we are left without the knowledge of God to the work of the flesh. Honesty will compel one to say there is nothing similar between these two different groups. When one does not have the proper knowledge of God's word, the works of the flesh will always win out and lead him in a way that's contrary to God. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all the restraints with bloodshed upon bloodshed. You see, these people did not have knowledge. They did not have the proper knowledge. Therefore, they could not have the attributes of the fruits of the Spirit. So in this introductory lessons, we've seen a contrast between the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. We either participate in one or we participate in the other. One will lead us closer to God and bring godliness and righteousness into our life. The other will bring sin, destruction, and misery into our life. But we make a decision on which list we will choose. Next week, we'll begin looking individually at the work of the Spirit when we go through each attribute as it is given in Galatians chapter 5. Please tune in again then, and we hope you have a blessed